fascinating idea. I saw a YouTube video, I think it was K6ARK. They were volunteering as a ham group at an air show, and they put out locations on a map that would basically allow folks to try and figure out where the courtesy golf carts were, where the medical station was. They had a bunch of basically different waypoints on an APRS map, and then you could figure out where different resources were based on their location beacon. So, you know, it's a fascinating array of tools that you can do different things with, which I think is interesting that you've got all of those different avenues. And, yeah, you're right. When I start thinking of APRS, my first thought is, well, you know, I could send out my location, but, you know, how often do I need to do that in the real world? But there's a whole lot of other applications there. And, yeah, telemetry. Telemetry is definitely in that list of things that might be curious to see what else you could do with it.
Yeah, well, we use it in the club. I'm a member of the T-Bark Club up at Tryon, and we've got a couple of veterans in the club that, yeah, you know, got some age on them, and we just kind of keep a watchful eye over them, so we have them beacon their location in case they get in trouble, that kind of thing, which has, you know, actually come in handy a couple of times. But I, like I said, I primarily use it from time to time to transmit data from the deer camp so I can check it out in Campobello and know what's going on with some distance between me. But if you haven't checked out APRS /FI, check it out. You can, it's pretty good software, you know, it's internet-based. You can see where anybody is or where they're beaconing, where your gateways are, where your digipeters are, weather stations and all that. It's pretty useful.
Is there a standard for APRS devices that you want to use for telemetry? Does it have a particular nomenclature if I'm going to plug this into my radio or have my radio respond or report this information? Is there a that conversation?
Yeah, well, there's several of them out there that you can use, but I use the WX1. It's just a little small device that you can plug into your computer. And you just, you know, hand jam what your data is, you know. For example, there was a couple years ago I had issues with, I didn't want anybody getting in the cabin while I was gone, so I wired it up so that, put a magnetic switch on the door, so that if the door opened, it would beacon. And if I saw it or heard it beacon, I knew, you know, the door had been breached. Or transmit battery voltage, because I'm off grid up here. Everything's on solar, so I kind of need to know what the battery voltage is and the humidity level. So you just plug it into the back of the radio and you configure it the way you want. Software comes with it. It's pretty simple. You have to be really careful where, you know, what frequency you beacon on. You have to, you know, stay on the right frequency, of course. But other than that, I mean, that's in my view, you know, that's about all APRS is good for. But other people love it. Not saying anything bad about it, but it's absolutely wonderful for telemetry.
Absolutely fascinating. That's definitely a use case that I have not explored. And now I'm all excited about going out and trying to figure out what I want to do with this weekend and what I can plug into it. But thank you for the education, Chad. I appreciate you you coming in and spending some time with me and giving me up to speed on all the different options that you use it for. And Patrick, thanks for the recommendation for a couple of radios. We'll see what that turns into maybe one day here in a little bit. We'll take a pause here, and we'll say this is the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net. If you haven't checked in, you want to join us, go ahead and check into the net right now. You can call KQ4WHN or net control.
Have a comment?
Come on in with your comment.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I was just listening to you and Patrick and Chad talk about APRS. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting technology to kind of experiment with back and forth. I know that's kind of what we were talking about, but there's even stuff you can do without necessarily buying an APRS-specific radio. There's actually a open source program called Direwolf that acts as a digital TNC. It runs on Raspberry Pi and Windows. I'm not sure if it does. I don't think it does Apple OS stuff, but I don't really do a lot there. But it's basically, you know, you can decode packets straight from the audio jack on your radio. You can tune to 144.390 and just listen to the packets come in and, you know, basically run. I've done it several times, just run an audio cable from your radio into the computer, just let it, you know, into the microphone jack, configure Direwolf, which, again, it's pretty much all command line based. There's a config file. But, again, you can do as little or as much, just like most things with ham radio, as much energy and effort and money as you want to put into it to kind of get it working over.
You know, I keep getting amazed at all the different rabbit holes you can run down with amateur radio. So at some point, I have to back up and go, yeah, you know what? I still got one in school, and I probably ought to have some money put aside somewhere. But I've got a number of different toys set up here, and I've played with a bunch of them. And, man, this feels like this might be the next one to play with. But maybe I'll wait till later on in the year, maybe get closer to Christmas and put it on my wish list. But, yeah, thanks for the education, folks. Anybody else with thoughts on APRS? That's definitely a topic that I have not explored in a great detail, and it sounds like there's probably plenty to learn there. Well, let me do this. Let me give Route one more call for check-ins. Alpha through Zulu, Zulu through Alpha. Call KQ4WHN or net control. Heard there. We got 48 check-ins tonight. I'll take that. Oh, wait a minute. I take it back. I see an Echo Link station. Echo Link station, would you like to check in the Blue Ridge 2 meter net before we call tonight? Let's go with Echo Link stations only. Call KQ4WHN.
KQ4WHN, this is W9AYK, traveling through the Northwest in Washington State. And doing some Echolink surveys, surfing, and just stopped by here, heard you put it out, and good evening to all. Nothing to contribute. Thanks for the shout-out, W9AYK.
We're certainly going to win the one furthest out from the check-ins tonight. Thank you for joining us, W9AYK. I believe that's Tim. Tim, thanks for joining us from the Northwest. All right, every time I call, I get one more, so let me try one more time. Alpha through Zulu, Zulu through Alpha. Anybody that needs to check in, we're going to wrap it up after this last call. Last call, Alpha through Zulu, call KQ4WHN. Well, that is a good number. We got 49 total. Gary, KI4DOS, is going to be running the net tomorrow night, and I'm sure he would appreciate you joining him there. I'm going to try and make it. I've been remiss the last week with some business travel and some other things keeping me busy, but we all benefit by joining the nets and regularly using and exercising the repeaters. Everybody should be aware that there's a couple of companies that are trying to consume some amateur bandwidth spectrum that, we need to make sure that they see there's plenty of folks out there using it, so... Stand by, I'll get ready with my net report, and we'll close it out for tonight. Q4WHN now securing the Blue Ridge 2 meter net with our thanks for those checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use, 73s, and good night, everyone. Have a great evening.
4JBQ, KO4NUE. 4JBQ, KO4NUE.
4NUE, here is KK4JBQ. How are you this evening?
I'm not a happy camper right now. I'm considering, but we had real bad storm rolled through about an hour ago. And still lightning outside, but that limb poked through the roof. trying to get the hole stopped up so I can keep the water from coming in, but I'm not doing too good of a job with it.
I have not been to the deer camp, so I don't have a picture in my mind of how that limb could have gotten through the roof. Do you have canopy above, I mean, very close to the deer camp?
In roof, but in the center of the ceiling, I put a skylight in so I could see the stars at night, close to where the bed is. And I, instead of putting a piece of tin, I put that clear plastic. It's like a piece of tin, but you can see through it. And, I enjoy looking at stars at night, especially in the wintertime, but now I got a hole in the plastic, and I'm going to have to do something about that. But I'll figure it out. It's about to quit. It's still drizzling just a little bit, but it was putting it down pretty hard a while ago. But I'll patch it long enough to get by, I guess, figure out what to do later. How are you doing?
I reckon I'm doing all right. I'm a bachelor for a few days. Donna's in Hilton Head with a bunch of her friends. She has friends from college, and their daughter is Donna's godchild, and she got married and had two little ones of her own, so now she's kind of a grandma. I don't know how far you can carry that, but yeah, so that whole family, I think there's seven or eight besides Donna that's going to spend a few days there. So she took off this morning, and I'm left behind with kitty cats and not a great deal to do. And it's nice to talk with you, KK4JBQ.
Well, I just want to touch base with you for a little bit. It's been while since I've talked with you, but I've been off and on up here for, I guess a couple of months, really. And I bought me some cellular-activated game cameras. And I didn't think I'd like them, but I bought three of them. I've got them positioned, you know, all over the grounds here, and I'm really enjoying those things. It sends images straight to my phone, and kind of neat, pretty easy to configure. But it takes pictures during the day, and I've got it configured to send a packet six times a day. So I get to configure the packets, you know, what time I want them to come and this and the other. So every morning I get, you know, a whole bunch of images of what's going on during the night, which is kind of neat, kind of scary too. We had one game camera down here that I put batteries in it, and 2018. I know it's hard to believe, but I haven't checked it for till now. And it took 8,000 images. And the last date stamp was December of 2024. So it's, I don't know how the batteries lasted that long, but anyway, got a couple of images of about 250 pound black bear trying to get in the door of the cabin. So and sometimes it's, I don't know if it's a good thing to, maybe it's safer to be ignorant, you know. But now that you know, you can't not know, you know.
That's an amazing circumstance. You know, the whole thing, start to take so many images. So it's still working.
Down a couple weeks ago, I think, and stripped the images off of it, and it took me about a week to get through all of them, you know. But had some interesting images, you know. One of them was, I got six shots of big old black bear trying to get in through the door. I got a deer hunter sneaking in, and he, I don't know who he is, but I keep my chairs out, propped up against the outside of the cabin. He comes in, grabs my chair, and then he disappears off the scene for 4 or 5 hours, and then you pick him up. He puts the chair back where he got it, and then he sneaks out the logging road, so he's slipping in here at deer hunt, but uses my chair, but he puts it back, so I don't guess I can say much, but just, man, got a bunch of squirrels, of course, black bear, bunch of deer, and do have some people walking on the property that I don't too care too much for, but not much I can do, you know, being so far away. But, I mean, they haven't done any damage, so I guess I can say much.
Certainly is an unusual situation there. Donna and I were talking a couple weeks ago. I guess it might have been that far ago, and we spoke about a bird that you mentioned there, at least that you hear at night, maybe it was. And I've forgotten the species of the bird, but it had an unusual call. And so if you can, with that very little bit of information, if you can remember what I'm talking about, maybe I can pick up with Donna on it later.
Quite a bit of birds down here. Years ago, I had some, I have seen a couple of bald eagles here. That was years ago. I got a set of falcons that comes out of the mountains. I think what they're doing is coming down here where all the pasture land is to hunt, because, you know, Caesar's Heads as crow flies. But I know they're falcons, because they're the only species that will transfer food in the air. So the male hunts, and then he'll drop the kill off to the female in the air, and then she'll take it to the babies. And a couple of whippoorwills, but I think the most vocal would be, I got three barred owls I've been listening to for years, and I got to see the big one, may have been last year or the year before. I've been trying to spot them for years, and finally got to see the big one. He's a big old boy, Larry. He's got a really giant wingspan. I mean, he's a magnificent looking thing. And he owns the place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I can imagine that's exactly how he feels about it, too. I've only seen large bird species at a distance, which is, I guess, the way I like it. They have well, it's just a different thing. Something with a beak that can, you know, pluck your eye out of your face with no trouble, and they're on the wing. You know, I don't feel safe around large birds. Last one, I don't know. I think it may have been a golden eagle. I saw him at about, maybe 20, 25 yards. And that's too close, because at that distance, he could count the hairs on my whiskers, you know. And they have all eagles have powerful eyesight. I would rather have had more distance between us. So I just kept my head low. Anyway, and that was some years ago. I understand their eyesight is like having one of those sighting scopes. You know, theirs is built in, of course. KK4JBQ.
Yeah. Roger that. Well, the reason I'm calling you is I got a couple questions for you. I'll send you a video. I don't have cell service down here very well. I definitely can't send any data. But I'm probably gonna head back tomorrow, or maybe the next day. I don't know, but I'll send you a couple of videos and need you to look at. This dog I got, Tango, he's something else, boy. He's a Belgian Malinois, and he's by far, I think he's the smartest animal I've ever owned. But I let him out yesterday afternoon. He won't go outside, and he don't stray too far from me. But he wanted to go out, so I let him go out. He stayed gone about an hour, and I just leave the door unlocked, because he'll take his nose and open the door and go in and out when he wants. But this idiot comes back in with a fish in his mouth and brings it in the cabin and drops it in the floor and just looks at me like he wanted a reward or something. But I cannot believe this idiot caught a fish. And I think there's a little bit of backstory here. Let me identify, not let my radio break. It's KL4NUE with KK4JBQ. He's young pup, and first of the month, I came up and checked on things, maybe a month and a half ago. And the drain line on the pond was stopped up, and the water was going over the overflow, and me and Chris trying to figure out how to get the pipe unstopped, and just couldn't really figure out how to do it. So I went beside it to go fishing, and the more I looked at it, I thought, well, I'm just going to jump in the water, go out there and wrap my legs around that drain pipe, see if I can unstop it with a piece of pipe. Well, I did. I got it unstopped, but Tango's on the dam watching me. and he jumps in the water, freaking out and swimming and this, that, and other. I expect him to come over and try to, you know, get on me while I'm in the water, but he didn't. He went swimming around all over the place, was just happy as he could be, wallowing in the mud and everything else. So, and that's the first time he's been around water, you know. So, fast forward a couple weeks, I was up there the other night and was, you know, went and bought me a new top water plug and caught a couple of little small bass, you know, and he just fascinated with the fish. When you bring it in, he's just, you know, just curious and wanting to bite at it and smell it and everything else, you know. Well, I'd throw him back in the pond. So he has made a connection, I think. I'm asking your opinion. He has made a connection that there is fish in that water because he's seen me catch them. And last night he decided he's going to go up there and catch one for himself, I reckon. And this idiot brings it in the cabin. Like I said, I'll send you a video of it. I couldn't believe it, Larry. He catches fish better than I do.
No, for sure. You taught him how to fish. And I know you don't have a common language to where you can explain things in detail. But he's assuming that that's good eats. And so he's earning his keep, holding up his end, if you will. And so he brings one in. Now, he's not going to dress that fish out and fry it up. And, you know, he's not going to take it that far. He can't take it that far. He expects you to do that. I mean, he's zeroed in on who runs the show. He's helping out. You know, whatever his efforts have been, I would reward him in some way and encourage him to do exactly what he's doing. I only have cats here. I've got four in the house that I'm taking care of while Donna's gone. And I don't expect much from them. But don't you know, a dog has a greater capacity, a greater understanding of what we humans can do. And they'll take advantage of it, just like, you know, any other creature. I think that's a beautiful story. I would tell it with pride. And next time that dog gets you some dinner, you make half for him and half for you. KK4JPQ.
Yeah, roger that. Well, the other issue I got with him is, you know, he was, when I got him, the breeder I got him from, he'd been poisoned as a pup. And the guy gave him to me, because he, honestly, I don't think he thought he was gonna make it, but, you know, took me a month and a half, and got him healthy, and, you know, back and forth to the vet, trying to figure out what to do. Anyway, when I come to the deer camp, he won't eat. And I mean, you know, with the gravy and the chunks, and try to make it as attractive as I can for him. But he will not eat, to the point to where he loses weight while he's up here. But if I pour the dog food in a plate and act like I'm eating it and, you know, feed him with my hands, he'll eat every bit of it. And the only thing I can figure is happening is that Daddy's got two dogs there on the farm. And he goes over there every morning and plays with them for an hour or two, and then he'll come back, wore out, gets in the crate and lays down. But I think the only thing I figure is that he's missing them or something. But he won't eat there, and I'm going to take him back home. So we'll see what happens, I guess. But this second time this has happened. I just want to see what you think about that.
Before I start, I want to mention, because you should know, that you have a sizable hum on your signal. It's kind of a higher pitched hum. Donna could tell you what the note is. I envy that about her. She's really good at just hearing a tone, and she'll tell you what note that is. But anyway, it was not there at the beginning, and it's growing anyhow. So what do I think about that? Well, I think that's only to be expected. You see, you and he were living a different life apart from one another. And then circumstances became that you were a man and his dog, you know, which is a whole different relationship. But the fact is, whether it's another human being or an animal, no, that's not right. If it's another human being, they can fill you in. The dog cannot fill you in. He cannot give you a clue that you can understand very well about what he's experienced before. You can go only on what he exhibits, the behavior that he exhibits, and you just do the best you know how to do. It's all anybody can expect. But eating is a necessary thing to do, and most people cherish it and would miss a meal. But dogs can have, especially if they've been mistreated, and certainly if someone took it on themselves to try to put the dog down for whatever reason, they gave him a phobia, you know, a fear. And maybe it's irrational now because, you know, you're on the scene and you're a different kind of person. And you are, you know, you're the guy in control now. But still, we have higher brain function, and we can put some things aside, not be affected by them. We can heal better, you know, because we understand the situation, the circumstances better. The dog is not so well gifted with, you know, his train of thought will come back to whatever gave him this phobia. And so you look out after him as best you can, and do whatever you need to get some calories in him from time to time. You did send me, I think, some pictures. I looked through my phone, and I think I found, while I don't, it's not, the thing is not labeled with his name, or I think that's, and you've had several, you know. I think this is the one that what I'm thinking about. I think it's the one that we're talking about now, but I can't be for sure. Oh, it is so good to talk with you, and it's so infrequent, unfortunately, that if you've about reached the end of your stay up there in the deer camp, you know, you get back into, well, more civilization. and we can have some longer conversations that the whole world is not listening to, you know. We can talk about other things. But anyway, it is good to talk with you. The hum might be whatever's powering your radio. Might be losing power or getting near failure. I don't know. What would you think about that? KK4JBQ.
Well, ever since I've put radio up here, everything here is completely on solar. I've been plagued with noise, and it's sometimes it's intermittent, sometimes it's not, but I do think it may be power related, because voltages, you know, sun's down, and I don't have any voltage coming in from the panels, so I'm getting down around 11 volts, well, 11.8, so this YZ, the power hog, it needs voltage. So I suspect that's probably what's going on. Probably going to get louder as voltage drops, but I'm on 5 watts trying to conserve as much as I can, you know, to get through the night. But I suspect that's what's going on.
KP2HSS. Yeah, I was going to mention that buzz on your signal. Been listening for a little bit. But you got to figure it out. You said you got low voltage?
I think that's what it is. I like I said, I've been plagued with noise ever since I've had a radio. And it doesn't matter what radio I use. I change radios out and it change antennas, change coax. I've been fighting this for years. And I don't know what it is. I think it's got something to do with the panels themselves. The only thing I can figure is it to the point where you just can't understand what I'm saying, or is it just annoying?
No, it's just a little noisy. I can hear you. I can copy 100%. It just sounds like a transistor hum or something. I guess you're running off battery right now? You're running, you got a power inverter?
That batteries.
Oh, that's weird. All right, you guys carry on. I'm almost home here. KP2HXS, I'll be listening out for a minute.
It's a classic sound of an inverter. Now you can have them in the house if it's having to convert one kind of power to another. If you're coming straight off the battery, though, I'll agree with the other ham there that's kind of strange. To have inverter noise when it's only seeing the battery. But that noise is coming from a piece of equipment that's either not functioning well, or is it dropping, it's functioning as you might expect it to. I just don't know enough particulars to make a call on that. Anyhow, it has been good to talk with you, and I wish that you have a good night's rest when you can turn everything off and all the lights out and gaze up through the hole in the roof and watch the stars. You take care, won't you, Chad? It's great to talk with you. This is KK4JPQ. Back to you, sir.
All right, Larry, we're good. Nice talking to you, and I'm going to clear on out, and I guess I'll go ahead and pack the radio up, because I'll probably head out in the morning, but At any rate, 73 to you. Nice talking to you, and I'll talk with you later on down. That's KO4NUE. I'm clear.
AP2A, check set.
Hey, you too, bud. 73.
BQ clear.